It's time to get strong, fit, and resilient. Welcome to the Fear Being Average podcast with your host, Brandon Rinka, where Brandon shares insights, practices, and education on leveling up how you look, feel, and perform. Say goodbye to complacency and get ready to kick the door into a new standard of living.
Okay, so drum roll, please. What do you think is the best training tool you're not using enough is? The sled. Yes, the sled, the prowler, whatever you want to call it, the kind of interchangeable names. Technically, a sled would be one of the ones where you don't have the handles to push or pull on, but it's a little bit more lightweight and you can kind of just hook something to it, like a rope or a harness. And then a prowler would be a little bigger machinery, and that's the one that you know, can load a bunch of plates onto. You can do that with the sled as well, but just much, much tinier. And the prowler is the one you can push and pull. And like I said, much heavyweight. You can load it much heavier, sorry. So those are the differences. But sled, prowler, I look at them basically in the same category, typically interchangeable. They do the same things with slight differences, but basically the same piece of machinery. But yes, that is the best training tool that you're not using enough of. And it's so, such an easy tool. It's a phenomenal old school strongman kind of feat of strength thing where you're just dragging or pushing or pulling a bunch of weight. Like back in the day, like strapping, you know, a harness to you or strapping a rickshaw to you and walking. It's like horsepower, you know, genuine horsepower. So such an easy tool to get so much out of it, which we're also going to cover. We're going to go over, you know, seven different, you know, benefits of it, specific benefits of the sled and prowler. Now, the only problem is not everyone has access to a sled and prowler. The good news is I was listening to a podcast recently, and apparently one of the gentlemen on the show, he purchased a prowler or a sled, and it was the tension was adjustable without adding lots of plates to it. Because, you know, for me to really get the benefit out of a sled or prowler, obviously you want to load it, or you know, you can do a lot of things with it, but ideally you want to, you know, put a lot of weight on it to make the exercise more challenging. But then you got to buy a bunch of plates and you got to carry those around in your car. It can be a bit of a nuisance. So it was kind of cool to hear that this guy ended up having or purchasing a sled where you could manually adjust the tension on the machinery, which we kind of like buy it with a dial. So that's pretty cool. But worst case, like I said, you throw a couple plates onto it, sandbags, whatever you have, and boom, you're good to go. You have a nice piece of machinery, and it's something you can bring to the park with you. You can do it on grass, you can do it on turf, you can do it on, you know, cement on the sidewalk. I did that a lot of that, a little easier terrain. It goes smoother on the sidewalk like that and the pavement compared to the grass. But unless it rained, if it rained and then you do a sled work on the grass, then it really moves smoothly. But typically with a prowler, I like to do that on turf. So there is that one bit of difficulty of, you know, where are you going to use it? Not where you're going to use it, sorry, but how are you going to, you know, incorporate it into your daily routine, right? If you don't have one. So the easy answer is go purchase one. Typically, like I said, you're probably not going to drive out to get a prowler. So I would buy more of a mini sled. I'll put some links into the description of this episode. So if you do want to check it out, feel free. And obviously, if you have access to a commercial gym, most gyms nowadays have a functional area where there's some turf, and that will, you know, give you all you need, and you'll usually have a prowler or two there, which will allow you to now perform these exercises. So if you're not someone who's in a commercial gym, think about purchasing a sled. If you're someone who likes to go to the turf, maybe you're, you know, a really big fitness enthusiast and you like going and doing summer workouts at your local high school or turf area, soccer field, you know, feel free to buy a prowler. Like I said, sled is just way easier to carry around. It's lightweight, and then you just got to figure out a way to load it, right? Ideally, if you have a couple plates, you should be good to go. So yes, sled, phenomenal tool. Little side note, this is something I used greatly for my Great Canadian Record project this past summer in my training. you know, that was a great way for me to, you know, increase my work capacity, you know, obviously condition my body, basically just build my body into a fitter, more resilient version of itself. Because you have to find that fine line of how often you train, how intensely you train, and then not training enough. So for me, obviously, I knew I was getting myself into a situation where I was going to be doing upwards of 10 hours of exercise a day, right? And fairly strenuous exercise, you know, a half Ironman plus 50,000 pounds of lifting at 1.5 times my body weight. It wasn't like I was throwing around lightweight or doing something that wasn't going to last very long. Like, we had all the components of fairly heavy weight, so decent amount of tension on my body, then obviously the accumulation of 10 half Ironmans, right? So that alone, 6-7 hours of work a day, just through the half Ironman, can add up. So the idea was, how can I, you know, build up my work capacity, be able to tolerate more stress to my body in training without having it break down prior to the actual project. And the sled was a huge factor in my training. I was able to do it 3 to 4 times a week, made for great double days. So if I had, you know, 2-day workouts, the sled would be the thing I would do in the evening or in the morning. And then obviously on my recovery days, I don't think I took a day off for like 2.5 months prior to the project, because there's no point really, you know, like I could always, there was always a way to figure out, okay, how do I manage my training stress? And I'm working towards something that I'm going to have to do 10 days in a row. So I can't really afford to take days off because it just doesn't make a whole bunch of sense. So I had to figure out creative ways to do work, but also allow my body to recover. And the sled was just a phenomenal tool for that. But let's jump into the episode. So number one, why is the sled so damn good? Well, it's a full body workout. So when you're pushing a prowler or using a sled, let's use a prowler just for this specific discussion here. It is a full body workout. The sled is more leg driven because you're not having to, you know, stabilize as much with the upper body in terms of having your arms extended or your upper back as engaged. But, you know, you're obviously still having to engage through the torso and the trunk. But when you're using a prowler and your arms are extended and you're pushing the sled forward, for example, you know, you have your hands on the poles and you're driving with your legs, you are working everything from the legs all the way up to the arms, right? And if you think about my arms overhead and we work our way from ankles to wrists, that would go through the entire kinetic chain, right? You go from the ankle to the calves to the hamstrings and quads to the glutes to the spinal erectors and spinal extensors, obviously in between with the core, obliques and the abs, and you're working your way up to, you know, the lats to stabilize, and the upper back and the lower trapezius. And then you obviously have, you know, the deltoids doing work and the biceps and the triceps engaging based around the elbow position as well. Obviously the pecs are contracted. So literally it's a full body movement. Like, every muscle is working. Now there is going to be, you know, primary muscles that are, you know, pushing that exercise, for example, like obviously the glutes and the hamstrings and the quads, dependent on foot position, is going to be very dominant in a sled push, or a prowler drag or something of that nature. But obviously upper body, like I said, great way to engage that upper posterior chain, especially, which a lot of people neglect. So really works well when we're talking about giving someone a full body workout. And typically how I like to program for majority of people, people that aren't going to the gym 4 days a week and they have a low stress lifestyle, meaning they're able to manage their stress, then I can increase training volume. But for the average person who, you know, has a decent amount of stress in their life, they want to go to the gym, they want to see results, you know, how do we manage that? You know, obviously I like to do more 3-day full bodies, and then we incorporate however many sessions outside of that that makes sense for their lifestyle and their goals. But to add the sled in, whether it's on a technical, I want to call it an off day, but let's just say a, you know, regenerative day, or to add it to the end of a routine as a bit of a finisher, just to sum up that day's work, right? Where we're getting a little bit more conditioning and getting a little bit more of a full body, harmonious movement to cap off the session. But yeah, it's such a great tool if we're looking to do something that's full body, and that incorporates the entire muscular system, and getting that effect where we're going to see, you know, a large amount of growth all the way through the body. Like I said, typically, mostly through the lower half of the body, we're going to see a lot more development, but you're still going to get some benefits just through stabilizing through the upper body. Now, number two, it's a great form of conditioning. So for a lot of people that want to build muscle and they want to change their physique and they want to get stronger, you know, you want to stay away from doing too much aerobic work, because obviously doing, you know, traditional static cardio and lots of it, it breaks down more muscle than it builds, right? You're going to develop, you know, mitochondrial density. You're going to improve ligament and tendon health to a certain degree if you don't ever abuse it, but you're not going to build muscle. It's not a muscle building modality. So for a lot of people, they get scared of that, right? And for me, I like to find ways to program conditioning, i.e. ways to actually improve our aerobic capacity and just improve our overall fitness level, but in a way where we can, you know, manage muscle sparing and ideally build more strength and create a fitter individual, right? So here we have a tool now that we can train a bunch of energy systems, right? You can slap, you know, a harness on, a belt on, and you can take the sled for a 1 mile walk with 25% of your body weight. And then now here we're hitting the oxidative energy system. You can do sprints with it and target more of that phosgene system. You can do 60 to 30 second bouts, which are pretty typical with sleds, hit more of the glycolytic energy system. You can just do a lot of different things with it. It's very versatile. It's great because you either load it up or you take load off, and boom, you got yourself a training tool that trains the full body, but in a variety of different ways. So for me, it is probably the best training tool for conditioning, because when I think about conditioning compared to cardio, I think there's a distinct difference. Cardio, like I said, is more so training the one energy system, you know, obviously improving your aerobic capacity and your oxidative energy system, where conditioning kind of highlights all three of them, right? So even when you're engaging in, say, a longer 1 mile sled pull or sled push, there's still that component of anaerobic work going on as well, because you're moving load, because there's some weight involved. And I think that's the difference. You're not going to do a bunch of, you know, cardio is, it's cardio. You know, you're on a piece of machinery, or you're running or swimming or you're biking. Like, you're just doing something that's you and, I don't know, like the outdoors, or you and that one piece of equipment, but this, it's just basically propelling you forward. Where conditioning, like I said, it has that loaded aspect to it. So you are having to stabilize, you are having to push or lift an external weight while doing it, right? That's why if you ever follow CrossFit, their conditioning workouts are things that are like thrusters and burpees. So things that incorporate you actually having to, you know, stress the nervous system in more of an anaerobic capacity, right? You're actually trying to, or you have to recruit muscle fibers in order to lift that weight and stay connected. So I think this is a phenomenal form of conditioning for people, especially if you're someone who overabuses traditional cardio, so that you can actually supplement maybe one or two of those sessions in a week with sleds instead. Or if you're someone who is scared of doing cardio because you don't want to pare down muscle, but you want to become fitter and you want to improve your aerobic capacity and you want to become more well-conditioned, you want to be more of a well-rounded lifter, which will actually help you in the gym, obviously, right? If we're getting stronger and better conditioned and becoming a fitter version of ourselves through all three energy systems, that is going to transfer itself into the gym, where you can lift more weight, you can lift for longer, you have a better work capacity. It's a phenomenal tool. So both individuals, both avatars would benefit from this form of conditioning. Number three, it's dynamic, it's fun, it's versatile. There's tons of ways to use the prowler or use the sled. You can push it, right? Going forward, traditional prowler push. You can pull it, right? You can do some backwards walks with it. Ben Patrick, the knees over toes guy, is becoming quite the internet darling right now about his whole knees over toes program. Provides a lot of good content out there. His story is pretty pretty remarkable, from going from someone who had a lot of knee pain and then now being able to dunk a basketball and have incredible versatility and strength within his knees and lower body and overall strength. And he puts a lot of emphasis on pushing the sled and pulling the sled and doing a lot of knees over toes, hence the name, and especially when you walk backwards. There's a lot of opportunity to strengthen patella and strengthen the muscles around the knee to really kind of build up a bulletproof lower body foundation. So he's a massive proponent of pulling the sled backwards. So you would grip onto the handles, you'd push your hips back and kind of drop into like a half squat, and you would literally walk backwards, really emphasizing that knees over toes. And not only do you get the benefits of the strength, but you also get some proprioception, because you have to be a little bit more aware of your surroundings when you're moving backwards, obviously. You can drag it in a multitude of ways. You can put a harness on, you can put straps on, you can, you know, literally hold a rope. You can walk laterally with it, so you get this multi-planar opportunity, right? So you can obviously move in the frontal plane now, which is great, and you can move in the sagittal plane. So I love having seen that. You can sprint with it. You can walk with it. You can move it for time. You can move it for getting stronger for 10 seconds and just push a shit ton of weight. Like, there's so much to do with it. You can use it as an upper body finisher, which I've incorporated recently, because I've been playing around with a few of the different programs and aspects of my programs that I've created in the SFR training systems, just for those in-between days where I want to get a little bit more upper body work, but I got some isometric contractions for the legs, and sleds work great for that, right? I hook up my rings or TRX, and I do bicep curls as I'm pulling the sled towards me and moving backwards, and tricep extensions. Great finisher for face pulls. Right now we can really load face pulls, which is one of the best exercises you can do for bulletproof shoulders and a strong upper back. You can do chest presses. You can do just straight up rows with it. Like, it's a phenomenal tool, so versatile, so much to do. When you first see it, you might think, well, you only see people push it in one direction. But then when you start playing around with it, you can do pull-throughs with it. You can do wide kind of monster walks. It's just a great overall tool, and a tool that is versatile in the sense that it can do so much, but that it really hits a lot of the neglected muscles that people typically don't put a lot of attention into, like the upper back, like the posterior chain, like the glutes and the hips and the trunk of the body, and create this stabilization effect. A phenomenal, versatile, fun tool, right? Which is great. And anytime you can make it more dynamic and more fun in your training rather than just traditional band work or this or that, or traditional bicep curls, and you throw a sled into the play, you can use it for core work, by the way, which I didn't even mention. It's just great. So it's just a great little thing that a lot of clients and individuals listening to this would benefit from using for sure. Number four, the adaptability of the sled and the Prowler is by far one of its greatest assets, right? You can use the sled for all ages. I would use it with a 4-year-old if they wanted to start training with something, because again, they're used to pushing things. You always see them, they have these little like toy trucks and toy whatever, and they're like pushing it and pulling it, and they're doing things that are literally mimic the sled, mimic the Prowler, just to a more appropriate weight for them, right? So you would use it for young athletes, 8-year-olds and 10-year-olds for sure. One of the best things you can do. It's not axial loaded, meaning it's not going to compress their spine. I'm not saying that even if you do back squats is a bad thing. It's just early on, it's pretty safe that way, right? They're literally doing nothing that is actually doing any potential damage to their spine or, you know, their body in that manner. They're literally just pushing something against load. It's like pushing against an immovable car. Is it going to wreck the body? No. Like, might be hard, might be easier if it's neutral, but you get my point, right? Then I would even throw it into experienced people like myself. Obviously, you heard how often and how frequently I use the sled and how much I promote it. Then I would throw it into people that are 80 and 90 and 70, like whatever range, right? Getting into the gym. My grandparents, 100%, if they said, hey, Brandon, I want to start going to the gym because I want to improve my body's strength and health, one of the first things I'd have them do is push a sled, 100%. I'd probably give them like 3 months of training where they're doing some farmer carries, they're doing some light band work, core work, and hip and glute work. And then I'd have them push a sled. Like those, that's literally the training program for 3 months for them. We don't have to get into crazy barbell training and all that stuff. For someone who's a little bit more vulnerable, it's like the sled is going to give them so much of what they need. So it is just so adaptable, so safe, and it's so easy to use. And like that's another one, another massive benefit for an 8-year-old or a new lifter that comes to me and says, I want to get into lifting and change my body composition, change my health and strength, or an older person that hasn't trained with a lot of progressive resistance training. Well, the sled's easy. It takes me a while to train someone on how to do a proper deadlift or proper squat. Like there's, it's so technical. If we're talking about using a barbell, for example, like there's a lot going on in foot position and, you know, stabilization and strengthening and proper internal tension. Like there's a lot going on, right? And so there's a lot that can go wrong if I'm not around them, especially. Even when I am with them, I have to constantly cue them. With a sled, it's primal, right? You're pushing against something. Like there's not a massive learning curve at all. So I can get an old person, an 8-year-old or a new client to push a sled with relative ease and comfort and proficiency quickly, right? It's not going to take me very long, which is great. Like the more I can get people training appropriately in a safe manner, the better for me. Like if I'm constantly cueing and having to, you know, fix form and technique, that's a longer learning curve before we really jump into, you know, thinking about building and strengthening the body because there's so much going on from a technical standpoint, right? So I love the idea that it's so easy to use, so practical, and so versatile and adaptable to everybody of all ages, all skill levels. Next one, build muscle and burn body fat simultaneously, right? So you got to love that. You got to love a tool that can help you do both. Now, you can argue and say barbells can do that too, right? If you use barbells in a more dynamic fashion, it's going to help build, it's going to help burn off body fat. Or just getting stronger and building muscle is going to help burn off body fat, increase your metabolism, and build muscle. So yes, you can throw barbells in there and dumbbells and progressive resistance training, of course. But when we're really talking about, you know, the dynamic aspects of how you can use a sled, like we talked about sled sprints, or use it in more of an anaerobic interval manner or even an aerobic manner, has a lot of tools. Like you're not doing aerobic work with a barbell or dumbbells, right? You're always doing anaerobic, where a sled can technically be pushed more in the aerobic side of things if you're doing mixed modality conditioning, or you're doing high intensity intervals, or you're doing tempo intervals, or you're doing straight up cardiac output method where you're just kind of rolling with the sled for, like I said, for a mile or two. And then when you want to build muscle, it's a great tool, right? A lot of people see the sled as a conditioning tool, which I think it's typically, even when I first started doing sled, I saw the benefit of like, ah, this has to be building, you know, some muscle. I'm pushing against a heavy load and clearly my glutes and hamstrings and quads are feeling pumped up afterwards. But I always kind of put it more in the category of conditioning. And even though it probably holds more validity, if you were to have to put it in one category towards conditioning, it certainly builds a lot of muscle mass. It's not as much as if, you know, traditional bodybuilding. But you will notice strength gains. You will notice that your legs definitely get developed. You're going to have more defined, stronger, bigger legs, you know, bigger glutes. Like I'm looking forward to the project I'm doing this summer. I haven't quite finalized yet, but we're pretty close there. Looking for some financing and funding just to kind of make sure that, you know, I got enough time to train for this bad boy. Then the marketing can begin. And it's going to require for me to do this project, a lot of sled work, like hours and hours a day of sled work. And I'm sure I'm going to notice a substantial amount of leg development and leg growth. I'll definitely be sure to track the progress of that with some measurements and then obviously some pictures just to see how big my legs do get and how much stronger and more muscular they get. So I'm really looking forward to that. And the cool part is, like I said, this is a tool that builds muscle, that gets you stronger, that burns body fat. Phenomenal. such a great tool for that, right? Very versatile in that manner. Number six, work capacity. So yes, this is kind of where we're highlighting more of that conditioning aspect. So what is work capacity? Basically, it's your ability to tolerate stress and stimuli in a more appropriate fashion, right? So you're able to do more work, more total volume, more weight, with less burnout. So you're able to recover faster. You're able to handle a greater level and density of stress, which is great. If you're looking to build muscle and get stronger and create a more fit, well-conditioned body, the idea is you can do more work. You can handle more work, right? It's the person that can run 1 mile and not be burnt out. Like, they have greater work capacity than someone who runs 1 mile at the same speed and is burnt out. Like, they have a worse or a shorter work capacity. So ideally, like when I was training for my Great Canadian Record project, I had a phenomenal work capacity. I could go 10 hours a day for 10 straight days with minimal work recovery and rest, and fairly high stress in the body. So that's a high level of work capacity. Like, I could go without having my body burn out for 10 hours a day for 10 days straight across Canada. If someone works out and within the first 30 seconds of an exercise, they start burning out and they're going, oh my God, I'm getting exhausted, they have a poor work capacity. So clearly, having a tool that can enhance your ability to recover faster, to handle more volume, to take on greater stress and greater loads, to sit under more time under tension within an exercise, the greater ability you have to put on lean muscle tissue, to burn off body fat, to have your nervous system recoup, and recover a lot faster than the average individual, which allows you, if you want, to do more work and do the things that you really love to do without feeling like you're inflamed or in pain and have high tension and muscle soreness. So phenomenal. So you can use a sled as a finisher to a workout. Like I said, at the end of a full body workout, you can throw the sled in there. I have an MMA fighter who's getting ready for a title defense, Siri City, at the end of April, and we use the sled as a finisher for some of his workouts because he trains about 2, sometimes 3 days a week. Obviously, we dial it back closer he gets to competition, to his fight, and at the end of the workout, we can use it as an opportunity to increase his, you know, power capacity or increase his overall power, or we can use it as a tool to increase his, you know, conditioning. So again, it just adds a different element where I can get him to do more work or get an individual like myself or a client to get more work in less time and improve our overall work capacity. And then they're used really good for those general physical preparedness sessions, also known as GPP sessions, without lots of damage because the sled is primarily in a concentric fashion. Like, you're moving forward with the weight, and the weight, you're not having to go through an eccentric lowering phase, which is typically the phase of the lift, the muscle contraction that promotes most muscle soreness and muscle damage, meaning you can use the sled far more frequently with less muscle damage. Hence why I could do the sled for 3 or 5 times a week on top of my training already, because it wasn't creating this muscle soreness. It wasn't affecting my next day's foundational workout or my next day's run or my next day's bike or swim, right? So because it doesn't promote a lot of muscle soreness, even though it promotes a lot of muscle stimulation, muscle activation, those are two different things, right? If I only perform the concentric of a lift, let's just say, you know, the push-up, I don't do the negative, I don't lower myself, and all I do is have my body and my chest on the ground and I push myself away from the ground, have my arms fully locked out, I'm going to create less muscle soreness, less muscle damage, so I won't build as much muscle, but my muscles won't be as sore or inflamed or as damaged the next day. So with the sled, it is literally a concentric contraction and then even an isometric contraction depending on the position of your body as well, right? So like if I do a arms locked out sled push, I have my upper body, my arms locked out, so my shoulders, biceps, triceps, for example, and upper back, I have an isometric contraction going on while my legs are moving forward through a concentric contraction. So realistically, I'm not putting my body through a lot of damage or tension well, no, I'm having a decent amount of tension, but not a lot of damage or doing a lot of incorporating a lot of muscle soreness to the body the next day, which is phenomenal. So this easily allows me to train at a fairly high manner or a fairly intense manner, but minus the typical muscle damage that comes from having a hard training session, right? So love that you're able to increase your work capacity, get more work in, and if you do it right, you're gonna see exceptional rate of growth, right? You're going to expedite the growth rate because you're able to do more work, hit more signaling to particular parts of the body and the musculature as a whole. You're going to become fitter, more well-conditioned, and better versed to actually handle more stress appropriately. And last one, you can work around injuries and pains. It's very low impact, and you can load it to build strength. I've had a couple people in the gym, you know, they talk to me about stuff, you know, exercises, training, yada, yada. And a few people, you know, once you get past, you know, 55, you commonly hear, oh, I got shoulder pain, or I got knee pain, or I got ankle pain, or whatever, right? It's always a pain around the shoulder, the knee, the foot, the ankle, that kind of thing. And the doctor tells them, well, you can't load it too much, and you can't do this, and you can't do that. It's a lot of elimination. Don't do this, don't do that. Rather than finding solutions of how to load, they get scared. And a lot of these old people, they just stop fucking training legs, right? Like knee extension hurts them. They don't squat anymore. So they literally just fucking go into the gym and do a little bit of upper body, pump it out, and they don't even touch the legs. I'm like, well, that's a big part of your quality of life, especially in the next 10 to 15 years. Like, you don't want to have these weak, skinny ass legs and knees and hips and trunk, like, and the glutes not being able to get activated or engaged. Like, you're putting yourself in a really bad position for shit to go wrong. So instead of just, you know, pumping out machine bicep curls and doing a few tricep pushdowns and face pulls, and, you know, machine chest presses and rows, let's throw in some sleds. Like, it's such an easy movement. Like, we already talked about the adaptability of it. We already talked about the versatility of it. We talked about the full body benefit, the opportunity to build muscle and burn body fat and improve your overall fitness level. Now we have the added benefit that you can work around injuries. You can work around pains. If someone tears their ACL, I had a girl who tore her ACL. The mother was, you know, a little concerned that she wasn't going to be able to work out and do all this and that. I told her, hey, you know, when I get back from my project, let's do some, you know, let's sled work with her. Let's start building up the musculature. Let's get her stronger. You know, she didn't reach out to me, but c'est la vie. But I'm saying that would have been a great thing for her, right? Now, hopefully she went out and trained with somebody else. Still say, hey, she had trained with me if that was the case. But you know what? I will digress. But yes, her daughter 100% should have been getting into the gym, doing these light, intense exercise routines and training routines. And the sled would have been a massive part of that to really help speed up the recuperation aspect of it and start building strength around the ligaments and tendons around that ACL, right? So, and these people that have these pains that doctors are telling them to stay away from and don't do this, like, they're not giving them solutions. They're not telling them. So they're scared shitless of doing anything they haven't done in the past, hasn't aggravated them, and would actually target that muscle. Well, guess what? If you have a weak back, you want to build lower back strength. If you have weak hips or fragile hips, you want to strengthen around the hips and strengthen the hips, right? You want to build muscle around the glutes and the hamstrings. You have weak knees. The goal or the action items isn't to stay away from the knee. It is to build a strong base and foundation around the knee to support the knee. Like, this is where people don't get, like, when you have knee pain, it's typically coming from, you know, weak ankles, feet, and hips, right? Obviously, if you're getting knee surgery, the knee's kind of fucked up, but it's because it was constantly compensating for probably a weak kinetic chain, and you weren't working the muscles that would actually help support the knee in certain positions. So naturally, your knee overcompensated and took a beating because you have a weak lower body and a lower body that's been neglected. So the idea to stay away from that makes zero sense, right? And this is the problem, right? We get put into a position where we have physicians and these people with letters in front of their names, and they don't know shit about exercise or strength training or nutrition, but we look at them as the answer because they've told us to stop doing something. They know what they know, right? They can read an MRI, they can see what's on a piece of paper, and they can prescribe a certain routine for you. But again, they don't know what I know, right? I don't know what they know. So rather than them telling you not to do shit, that's a band-aid. Like if your car can't turn left, right? If your steering wheel can't turn left, that's the equivalent of someone saying, a mechanic saying, hey, guess what? Don't make left turns anymore, rather than fixing the fucking issue so your car can actually make a left turn. The idea to not train your knee, not train the squat pattern, not train the hinge, not train the lunge is equivalent to saying, don't make a left turn anymore. And we'll find a way to go straight and make right turns and do circles for you to finally get in the direction you want to go. Like it's obscene, it's craziness, but that's the problem, right? So the sled, the prowler, it allows us to work around these pains, work around these issues, work around these injuries quite effectively, and it will help the overall. Like I said, all the other benefits we talked about 100% are going to be nurtured, but it's such a big one because I see so many people avoid strengthening their musculature, especially weak, vulnerable musculature, because they've been told to stay away from it. And it's the wrong advice. It's about finding the right solution, the right exercise, the right modality, the right programming to actually help strengthen that weak, vulnerable area. Okay, guys, hope you enjoyed this episode. Like always, be sure to subscribe if you haven't already. Share the podcast with people that need to hear this. Maybe you have a vulnerable aunt, uncle, family member, friend. Maybe you have someone with pain and injuries. Maybe you have someone who doesn't know how to use this piece of material and all the benefits that comes with it. So share the podcast, comment, rate it, do it all, and we'll see you on the next episode of the Fear Being Average podcast.